Welcome to the Holiness Today podcast. Last week, Dr. Philly Chombo delivered the BGS report to the 100th session of the General Board in Overland Park, Kansas. The General Board has governing responsibility for the Global Church of the Nazarene between General Assemblies. Every year, district superintendents, assigned ordained ministers, and lay leaders elected at the General Assembly meet and carry out the corporate business of denominational offices. Listen to Dr. Chombo greet the General Board and reflect on the life and fellowship of the Church, empowered by Jesus Messiah, the Son of God.
Dear distinguished members of the General Board of the Church of the Nazarene and honored guests, in the mighty name of Jesus Messiah, I extend warm greetings on behalf of the Board of General Superintendents. As we convene for the 100th session of the General Board and the first session of the new quadrennium, we unite in gratitude to God for the opportunity to reflect on the life of our church, considering both our rich history and the promise of the future. I invite us to anchor our reflection in the wisdom gleaned from 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, which speaks of the life and the fellowship we share. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. The life that we share comes from God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, the wellspring of our existence, sustaining us from our inception to our present and guiding us to our future. As Jesus affirmed, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Indeed, in him we live and move and have our being. We are his offspring. It is in Jesus, Messiah, the Son of God, that we have our true identity as his offspring. As we remain in communion with him and in fellowship with one another. With this understanding, we will reflect on how this life has resonated within and through the Church of the Nazarene this past year. Before we dive into our reflection, let us express our appreciation to those who made this gathering possible. In particular, we would like to recognize Dr. Gary Hackett, General Secretary, and his office team, including Kelsey Main, Jeff Dre, and Michelle Millett, who played indispensable roles. Gratitude also extends to interpreters, translators, IT personnel, and communication specialists, ensuring the seamless flow of our proceedings. Special thanks to Joy Hackey and the entire Board of General Superintendents team for their tireless effort in coordinating so many details of this session. Thank you. Although this report cannot comprehensively capture the entirety of the events in the past year, we trust that the highlighted moments serve as a window offering glimpses into the transformative power of God's handiwork within and through the church. It serves as an overview of the denomination's participation in God's mission, past and present, and our hope for the future. The 30th General Assembly of the Church of the Nazarene, held from 9 to 15 June 2023 in Indianapolis, Indiana, USA, marked a significant milestone as it brought together a record number of delegates from around the world. Last year's delegates numbered 1,042, exceeding 1,000 for the first time. More than 16,000 people participated in various activities and worship services in Indianapolis. Also, we achieved a record global reach through online streaming, welcoming more than 58,000 viewers from 104 countries. Through engaging videos from all six regions, we celebrated God's ongoing transformative work, acknowledging God's hand in the creation of a new life as we obediently respond to God's invitation to wholeness. The 30th General Assembly in June 23 marked the retirement of our esteemed colleagues, Eugenio Duarte and David Graves. Their impact on the global church remains an enduring legacy for which we are profoundly grateful. At that assembly, we elected Scott Daniels and Christian Samento as general superintendents. Their diverse experience in education, local church ministry, church administration, and missions promise unique perspective and contribution to the board and the life of the church. The 30th General Assembly celebrated the reunion of a global church, fulfilled its responsibility as a supreme doctrine-forming and law-making body of the Church of the Nazarene, all centered around the theme, Jesus is Lord. As part of the General Assembly business, 124 resolutions were considered. A few of these resolutions were referred to the Board of General Superintendents for further study. When resolutions are sent to the Board of General Superintendents, a qualified cohort of Nazarene scholars from across the globe is selected to form a study groups. These scholars encompass a broad spectrum of expertise in theological, biblical reflection, and practical experience, and represent pastoral leadership, global ministry center, and other ministry areas. The Board of General Superintendents will bring a report back to the next General Assembly regarding the outcome of the study groups. Nazarene Youth International celebrated 100th anniversary of ministry dedicated to youth. Concurrently, the Nazarene Missions International Convention commemorated the 75th anniversary of the Alabaster Fund. A notable addition was the successful gathering of GA Kids, sponsored by Nazarene Discipleship International. This groundbreaking event brought children's ministry to the forefront of the General Assembly. A total of 865 children participated. After 5 years of leadership, Scott Rainey completed his duties as Director of Nazarene Discipleship International on February 1, 2024. Scott returned to a local church ministry to lead Huntington, Indiana First Church of the Nazarene as a lead pastor. We thank Scott for his invaluable services in ministry to the Church of the Nazarene. Vern Ward has served as Director of Global Missions for 12 years. During his tenure, he participated in the development and implementation of Nazarene Missions Project, the establishment of various resources and events for recruiting and training missionaries, and the creation of numerous tools and systems to provide missionaries with more training, information, and resources as they bring the message of Christ's transformational love to communities around the globe. He will retire on April 2, 2024. Prior to his service as Global Mission Director, Vern and his wife Natalie served as missionaries in Papua New Guinea. Vern went on to serve as district superintendent and eventually as field strategy coordinator. In 2005, Vern was elected regional director of Asia Pacific. He served in that position for 7 years until his election as global missions director. On behalf of the board of general superintendents and the entire global church, we thank Vern for his life and ministry. Thank you, Vern and Natalie, for your service to the church. General Superintendent Emeritus Thomas Johnson passed away on December 6, 2023, at age of 86. Johnson began his service to the Church of the Nazarene in 1958 as an evangelist before becoming a pastor and district superintendent. In 1994, he was elected Global Director of Sunday School and Discipleship Ministry, a position he served in for 7 years. In 2001, Johnson was elected to the Board of General Superintendents. He served on the board for 4 years before retiring in 2005 after 47 years of ministry. We celebrate his godly life and the eternal impact he has made in the church and in the life of so many. In October 2023, the Board of General Superintendents elected Alessandro Polonio to the position of Regional Director for South America. Polonio succeeds Christian Samento, who was Director of South America Region at the time of his election. Polonio previously served as the field strategy coordinator for CONOSUR, overseeing the denomination's work in Argentina, Chile, Paraguay, and Uruguay. He has also served as a missionary, district superintendent, regional NMI coordinator, church development coordinator, and a pastor. His passion and experiences will serve the region well, and we look forward to this new phase of the South American Church. The Church of the Nazarene's membership has reached 2.7 million, reflecting a growth of 2.69% compared to the previous year, and a significant decadal increase of 20.36%. We express our gratitude for a church that steadfastly engages in God's mission on the global scale. On Friday evening, the Global Missions Committee and the Board of General Superintendents voted to recognize Belgium as World Area 165. Praise be to God. Since the General Board meeting last year, we have been actively working to develop strategies to address concerns about the World Evangelism Fund's sustainability. We have hired a new Global Director of Stewardship, and recently we engaged a consultant to work with the Board of General Superintendents to help develop strategies to address the concerns. A full progress report and comprehensive plan will be presented at the 2025 General Board meeting. The church gave more than $36 million to World Evangelism Fund this past year, and more than $36 million to approved missions projects. This is outstanding generosity and commitment to God's work in and through the Church of the Nazarene. Thank you, Nazarenes. Education is a transformative journey, guiding us toward fulfilling our God-given vocation. We are called to become Christ-like, participating in God's creative activity and making a difference in the world. Nazarene Higher Education embraces this holistic approach, integrating both faith and learning in order to nurture individuals who will impact the world for better. On 8 September 2023, the South Asia Nazarene Bible College held a graduation ceremony. Serving both India and South Asia, the South Asia Nazarene Bible College plays a crucial role in training leaders for ministry. What stood out when the newly organized church's members, mostly recent Nazarene, graduating with lay training certificates, this not only roots them in the Wesleyan holiness tradition, but also fosters sustainability as people continue to plant sustainable churches and faithful in service in their communities. The collaboration between local churches, districts, and the Bible College showcases the importance of strong relationships, addressing the specific need for lay training. The integrated lay training program not only equips individuals for ministry, but also it is a place where they are prepared as they prepare for ordination and equips individuals as part of that foundation, exemplifying a collaborative approach that resonates globally. Nazarene Compassionate Ministry remains a faithful partner with local congregations around the world to transform lives and to embody Christ's compassion through acts of service and partnership. NCM joins local communities to address poverty, hunger, injustice, and diseases, fostering sustainable change and proclaiming the gospel in word and deed. In the heart of the conflict-ridden Democratic Republic of Congo, the Bulengo Listening Center has stood as a beacon of hope since 2017. Born from a local Nazarene church, it has evolved into a district-wide initiative, offering solace to those displaced by war. Since its inception, the center has provided a safe haven where survivors can receive counseling, vocational training, and emotional, psychological, and spiritual care. Beyond unconditional love, survivors are equipped with skills to break the chains of despair. I will be remiss not to acknowledge that the Church of the Nazarene is wrestling with its identity in the ever-evolving cultural landscape. This manifests itself in a variety of ways in a global church, including areas where we are seeing decline in membership and professional faith. While the issues we grapple with are unique to the 21st century, facing challenge is not new. Our founders faced similar dilemmas as they addressed the complexities of a denomination emerging from various holiness movement groups while navigating the cultural landscape of their time. With unwavering patience and goodwill towards all, they sought to define and embody the church's identity, which was in accordance with the critical objectives of the Church of the Nazarene: holy Christian fellowship, the conversion of sinners, the entire sanctification of believers, the upbuilding in holiness, and simplicity and spiritual power manifest in the primitive New Testament church, together with the preaching of the gospel to every creature. Mary Luce's book, In Need of Our Prayers and Patience, The Life and Ministry of Hiram Reynolds, and the Founding of the Church of the Nazarene, sheds light on the founder's resolute commitment to the unity of the body, even amidst diversity and cultural challenges. Strikingly, what stands out is a church that sought to live out its call with excellence, to preserve and propagate Christian holiness, and also to care for them and to meet the needs of the poor. Such passion led to a commitment to processes that brought order to the life and ministry of the church, established disciplines intended to help the church reflect God's holiness in their world. Despite facing challenges and occasionally confusion, and perhaps even some missteps or blind spots, the early Nazarenes persevered in their pursuit of unity, guided by patience with one another and commitment to prayer. The church's resilience, propelled by God's grace, allowed it to overcome obstacles and continue to advancing the kingdom of God in bringing glory to God. Today, as the church wrestles with its identity, let us carry on the legacy of our founders by exercising patience with one another and love for one another, trusting in God's transformative power through the Spirit to mold us into the likeness of Christ, even in our diversity and disagreements. As the church grapples with issues of identity, two foundational aspects persist. First, the call to Christian perfection, that is, to be God's holy people, filled with the Spirit, and being transformed by God's perfect grace. This includes actions and attitudes that are in accordance with God's transformational work in our lives. What we believe about God's soteriological work must be reflected in the way that we live our lives. What we believe about God's soteriological work must be reflected in our life, a life that is different from that of the world. Second, the call to follow Christ's example to preach the gospel to the poor. This speaks of a commitment to justice, particularly becoming the good news, the image bearers of God in God's justice, righteousness, goodness to the poor. In Jesus' life and ministry, the good news to the poor is to both physical poor and spiritual poor, those in need of God's mercy and salvation. The church's identity encompasses active participation in Jesus' mission of salvation, delivering a comprehensive message of hope through both word and deeds. These two aspects are interconnected, as embracing the kingdom of God means living out God's holiness in all areas of our lives. Illustrating this commitment is the symbolic image of the first church founded by Phineas F. Brzee, the Glory Barn, an emblem of revival and spiritual renewal, established in 1895 in Los Angeles, California. Here, people were challenged to concentrate their lives and experience the grace for the forgiveness of sins and the grace for the deliverance from the power of sin, resulting in change that is followed by a journey of unlearning or disassociate with old habits and learning new habits that are in accordance with the fruits of repentance. At the same time, the Glory Barn symbolizes simplicity, a place where people from all walks of life are welcomed, cared for, and nurtured with the understanding that as a community, we provide support, a community that yearns to see all people experience the salvific work of Christ. In the midst of the current season, may we discover our metaphorical glory barn. Above all, may we meet God and one another as we gather at the glory barn. At the beginning of this report, I invited us to anchor ourselves on the writings of 1 John. 1 John was written in a context of a polarization. In the midst of this, John appears to offer a path forward. He addresses the issue by calling for unity while pointing to the hope we have in Jesus Messiah, the incarnate God, the only one who can atone for our sins. It sounds like John is saying to us, here is the path. Stay on this path, and you will be okay. Recently, I embarked on a thrilling backpacking journey on Oregon Pacific Crest Trail, where we faced a harrowing ordeal when we got lost, stranded, exhausted, low in water. We stumbled upon a small creek where we decided to camp for this night and continue our search for an escape in the morning. The next day, the good news is that we found our way back to the trail. However, word had already gone out to fellow hikers that we were missing. As we made our way to Crater Lake, several hikers recognized us as the missing guys. They were overjoyed to see us, but they also took the time to reassure us that we were on the right trail. Their reassurance and emphasis on staying on the trail served as a point reminder, especially because we got lost because we took a detour. A reminder to stay on the trail. In recent days, I've thought about this adventure as I reflected on how the church today grapples with living out its faith with the complexities of our world. What we find in 1 John is a reminder that believers throughout history have always grappled with the integration of the gospel teaching and ethical consideration of their daily lives. Early Christians faced similar dilemmas, some adhering to Jewish tradition as a standard for Christianity, while others struggled to reconcile the concept of an incarnate God with the understanding of the material world. Beyond that, they contended with issues like false teaching, persecution. Others may have been at risk of adopting unorthodox beliefs, wavering between overly strong or weak Christology. John writes to encourage and strengthen the church to remain faithful to its walk with and in Christ. John's way of saying "here's the trail" aims to strengthen the faith and determination of the believers, encouraging them to embrace the apostolic gospel unwaveringly. To fulfill this purpose, John urges the church to develop a solid comprehension of Jesus' essence, of who he is through the power of the Spirit, to live in accordance with the gospel of Jesus, Messiah. The life that Jesus came to give us transcends the brokenness and the evil that permeates our world. This is good news. The life that Jesus came to give transcends the brokenness and the evil that permeates our world. In taking on human form, Jesus, the incarnate God, came to restore our relationship and fellowship with God. And as 1 John so powerfully reminds us, one another. He revealed that God is the true source of life. It is in him that we find life. The one who breathes newness into our weary souls. This divine life not only enables us to live in a way that honors God, but enables us to not to succumb to the sin, but also it empowers us to overcome the snares of evil that surround us. Through Jesus, God has made possible a transformative change within us, a change that allows us to rise above the limitations of this world. In essence, Jesus is not just a teacher or a prophet, but the very source of life itself. He is God, one with God and one with human. He offers himself to us as means of reconciling us with God. In John's own words, God granted us eternal life, and this life is found in his Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. This profound message invites us to a journey of a deep reflection and exploration of the nature of Jesus and how this is to be lived out in our complex world. It is not just about acknowledging these truths intellectually. It is about accepting them personally and collectively. It is not just about acknowledging these truths intellectually. It is about accepting them personally and collectively and experiencing them firsthand. This means that simply knowing about Jesus and his holiness isn't enough. We need to engage with Jesus in real and personal way. We are called to become who we are in Christ through the Spirit. Through Jesus, God's message and salvation are accessible to humanity. It is no longer something that is distant. It is present, life-giving relationship that enables those who believe to know and draw in understanding of God's way of life. Life in God is about having a deep, unending relationship with God. The encounter with the Messiah must be followed by the embodiment of a new life, personally and as the body of Christ. Now, the life that God gives is not passive. It is a transformative life that God instills within us, crafting new hearts filled with his glory and righteousness, upholding and empowering us to embody this life-changing essence in our world. John tells us that such life is lived in fellowship with one another. Fellowship involves sharing life, learning from each other, loving, listening, and growing together. It also requires humility and patience with one another, and even, or perhaps, forgiveness of one another. The backpacking story is a beautiful example of how fellowship can transcend differences and create a sense of unity. People from all walks of life come together on the trail, sharing a common goal and supporting one another through challenges, even when faced with setbacks like getting lost. The group finds strength in their camaraderie. This sense of fellowship extends beyond the trail. As strangers or fellow hikers offer help and encouragement. I think 1 John 1, verse 7 is important, is significant. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Dr. Kent Brower, in his in the article, Holiness and Community in 1 John, reminds us that identity of God as light holds profound implication for the life of Christian discipleship. The holy community called to walk in the light mirrors God's holy nature. Therefore, those who claim to walk in the light, they cannot simultaneously walk in darkness. They cannot simultaneously embrace darkness. John emphasizes that the holy community's life is rooted in a relationship with Christ. Thus, knowing, abiding, and remaining in Christ, in koinonia with Christ, and centered in the love of God, forms the foundation of this fellowship. This mutual participation in Christ and with fellow believers is far more than a natural affinity. It stems from the shared participation in the very being of the triune God. Walking in the light requires obedience to God, not merely adhering to a set of rules, but emulating God's love, loving character, and the obedience of the Son. This obedience is not a passive acceptance of Christ's action, but an active participation in his obedience, empowered by the Spirit's indwelling. John links walking, obedience, abiding, and love in one statement. He says, "By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says, 'I abide in him,' ought to walk just as he walked." Obedience to the word, particularly the great commands to love God and the neighbor, is essential for walking in the light. John boldly asserts that whoever obeys God's words truly embodies the love of God. Walking in the light is synonymous with abiding in God. It manifests as mirroring God's love within the community and towards the world. True holiness cannot be confined to individual spirituality. It is also the presence of love demonstrated in acts of love within the fellowship of the church and towards others. As we live in fellowship, here's the good news. As we live in fellowship, God continues to pour his life into us. We learn to hear and see and touch God in time and space because God is at work through us and through others as we experience the fellowship that we have together in the presence of God. We learn not only to see, to hear, to touch, but to experience God. While fellowship does not guarantee perfection, it acknowledges Jesus' power to transform us into his likeness. In fellowship with one another, we learn to trust Jesus with our lives. As we respond to the transformative work, we experience and witness and the extraordinary redemptive and restorative work of God in us and through us. The danger of polarization lies in the tendency to stray from the true image of God, as revealed by Jesus, Messiah, the Son of God. Following John's admonition, let us prioritize returning to the centrality of Christ, the incarnate and atoning Messiah. Let us seek the face of Jesus, Messiah, the Son of God, open to his transformative power, united in our belief that he calls us to be holy. We recognize that only he can make this possible. We cannot sanctify ourselves, but he makes us holy as we surrender our lives to him. His redemptive and restoration work extends beyond us and encompasses the whole creation. May we stand resolute in our commitment holistically to proclaim in word and deed the good news of Jesus Christ to all people. We do so with the confidence that God's grace is at work in all people's lives, believing that when people respond to this grace, they will experience his goodness, his righteousness, and the transformation of their lives as they are transformed into the image of Jesus, Messiah. May we be found earnestly praying with patience for the Lord to guide us amidst the complexities of our world. May we discern his ways and follow his path, united in our mission to share this love and light with all creation. Respectfully and prayerfully submitted, on behalf of the Board of General Superintendents, Philly Shambu.
Thank you for listening to the Holiness Today podcast. If you enjoyed this production and wish to hear more, visit holinesstoday.org/podcast or find us on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.